Good early morning on a Wednesday, hump day, hump, hump, hump day, yep, hump day. Morning, folks. Welcome to another show, The Deaf, Leading, and Blind. I'm your host, William Lanson. So today we're going to talk about last night's primaries, how Trump took over the vote, some shenanigans that were happening over there in some of the precincts. We have, I wanted to touch base on C.J. Strauss and how he got edited out of a sideline interview, and he was praising Jesus. Same thing we heard about Tim Tebow and many other football players, whether C.J. Strauss still stays in the league or gets fired from this, or slowly pushed into the, you know, second line, third line. Next thing you know, he's an analyst on ESPN. So those type of things. And I also want to touch base on the difference between the NFL and the NBA when it comes to God and religion. Okay. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It was on Pat David's podcast and a few others that shit. And I'm a basketball fan too. So Porter Jr., Michael Porter Jr., he was hanging with some girl and was doing an interview with her. And she was humanly trafficked, sexually trafficked, abused in any which way, shape, or form. And he kind of just, you know, you could tell it wasn't a gimmick. And, you know, truthfully, my thoughts on Michael Porter, I thought he was just one of these arrogant dudes because a few years ago when he was in the league and he was trying to get, you know, get off the second, he wanted to get off the bench and starting. He was, you know, I didn't know if he was going to, nobody knew if he was going to stay in Denver. Okay. But he showed everybody who he was. He said, screw it. I'm going to do what I got to do just to show him what kind of athlete I am, what type of player. Next thing you know, he wins a freaking championship and he's still starting for the Denver Nuggets. So bravo to Michael Porter Jr. Another thing is that, what is the NBA stance against religion versus the NFL and how that differs? Also, I want to touch base on Ron DeSantis getting back at Nikki Haley for last night's primary in New Hampshire. And he's also got her back in another way, shape, or form. And also, Nikki Haley has some real hard thinking to do on whether which way she wants to go, because we all know that usually in this time, you drop out, you back the support, and you might get rewarded. And what I mean by rewarded is a cabinet position, a good reference to another job, and so on and so forth. So what's Nikki going to do? Is Nikki just going to abandon everything, or is she going to still stick by the Trump train? Is Don Bullock going to stick by the Trump train? We've seen that Santis, Vivek, Doug Berman, and that's it. There might have been one more that is also endorsed Trump. So now we got to see if Nikki's going to either play ball with Trump again and hope for a cabinet position, or is she going to stick on the sidelines and stick to her convictions of what she thinks about as Trump for a 2028 run. So, you know, it's like these people want to be president, right? Chris Christie is in the shape he's in. He might win it in the line in some time. But, you know, you have Nikki Haley chomping at the bit. You know Ron DeSantis is definitely going to be president one day of this country. Okay, just because he was a JAG officer, he was a pilot. You know, he's smart. So, you know, I'm thinking like next year it could be DeSantis and Don Jr., DeSantis and Nikki. And then you got, you know, a few years later after that, you got Nikki Haley to be president. Maybe the first Republican woman president. You got Vivek putting his name in there, and he ain't going to come until probably like the 2050s. You know what I mean? Once he's, you know what I'm saying, he's got another 20, 25 years to wait. So, you know, after maybe 3-4 presidents, Vivek might be president of this country. Do you know what I mean? It's like they get their name in there to lay the seeds in there, get their name recognition. So this way here, you know who they are. And do you know Vivek made more money campaigning than he did just working his 9-to-5. It's insane. The guy made fucking money on the campaign trail. That's just insane. I mean, maybe through the merchandise and things of that nature, but usually you pump that right back into the campaign. So I'm just curious on it all, like how he made, where did he make his money, and how did he make his money on the campaign trail? You know what I mean? Maybe just people buying his stuff, hearing about him, and saying, "Oh yeah, let me try this, let me see that." And I think he has over 100 patents for a lot of things. So congratulations to Trump. Congratulations to the Republicans up in New Hampshire. It was a great night for Trump. It was a great night for Nikki. She, even though she was behind Trump, hey, if you look at it and you say, look, you know, Trump's a colossal house. At the end of the day, if that was any other ordinary Steve, like a DeSantis or something, she would have been neck and neck with that person, if not maybe would have won the state. So, you know, Nikki has really cemented her name in New Hampshire. Where Ron burnt all his money out, and it seems that when you know these people are about to drop is when they burn all their money. They do shit that just doesn't make sense, okay? Like Nikki saying she's going to stay in for South Carolina, all right? Nikki knows she's going to lose South Carolina. That's her home state, and she's going to lose it. The reason why is because there's already pledged delegates that are going to vote for Trump, and there's about 40 delegates up for grabs in North Carolina, and I think Trump's got at least 28 of those, okay? So she loses in South Carolina, she lost in Iowa, she loses in New Hampshire. So she's going to go down there, she's going to burn all her money out. Of course she's going to say she's going to stay in the race, she's going to burn all her money out, and next thing you know, Trump will run away with the nomination. The question will Nikki back Trump? That's the one question we got to find out, is if she's going to back Trump or stand alone. Quickly, guys, I just want to tap in on Rumble. Rumble had a beautiful day yesterday. So for 2 days, there's going to be 4 phases of what Rumble's going to be rolling out. Another phase of what Rumble's going to roll out is probably by the end of this quarter. If you're not familiar with quarters, he has cut up in 4 quarters, right? You got summer, winter, spring, fall. It's like school. Every quarter is probably going to end late March, early April. Okay. So Rumble's CEO was on Pat Bed Davis' podcast yesterday, and they were talking about how Rumble really came from nothing to something. Okay. And it was pretty cool to listen to Chris do this and how he did it. And what he learned from other apps and streaming apps like Parler. So when Parler was coming up, they didn't have a network system, and they kind of leased it. They rented their network system out to Amazon. Okay, so Amazon was like their extension cord, you know what I mean, to the web or to the cloud. All right, and so I don't know if Amazon's still running on doing a cloud-based service or whatnot, but let's just say Amazon said, well, you know what, we're moving this outlet, and I'm sorry, your extension cord ain't going to reach to the other side of the wall that we're going to put this outlet at. So Paula then friggin' got the plug pulled because they had no network to get into to be able to, you know, stream and do all this type of technology shit that's way above my head. So Rumble, the kid Chris seen this in Rumble and said, oh hell no, I'm not doing that. That's not gonna be us. So right then and there he started saying, well shit, if we're gonna make this run and we're gonna do this right, we're gonna have to buy our own network. So they rented it out till as far as they could, and then they said, hey, now we gotta start making ours. They did. They have so now Rumble has a Rumble Cloud, okay, and they're going to be rolling that out by the end of the first quarter. Now, what's my point? Well, if we learned from the last week and the last 2 news cycles, the news makes the stocks move. News is what drives it, okay, especially if you want a quick bump. So if Rumble comes out with news saying they're going to partnership with Parler, what happened? 30-point bump, right? Then And that next day, they ran the wave, and they said, Rumble's going to come out with a live service, like a live streaming service, okay? So now you're live, meaning that they have a network infrastructure, okay? They have a cloud-based system. That means they're running on all cylinders. They're in servers in other states, countries, so their network is being pushed, okay? And it allows people to enjoy the content that they have. If you're getting traffic going to your network, then you know that's you know half the game right there. So with that being said, you say to me, so well, Wayne, what's your point then? Well, once they roll out this cloud-based service, right, you're gonna look at a 15% bump in Rumble over that type of news, right? The news sells. So tell me, if they're going to roll that by the end of the first quarter, and this is all coming straight from the horse's mouth, then what's that tell you? That you're going to see at least a 10% bump on any type of money that you put into Rumble. Now, please do not take this as sound financial advice and stock advice, because it's not. This is just my theories. Do your own due diligence. But the common sense person out there like me would say, okay, I seen the fucking news in the last couple of days drive up the stock 60%. I mean, God, even if it gets a 10% bump and I put in fucking $2,000, you're gonna see a quick $800, and you could ride it up, and you could ride it up, and you could ride it down. So you can make anywhere from, you know, double your money to a little bit more on just a half a day of trading, if you know what you're doing, okay? So that's one instance. Now, the big kicker. So Rumble's got two things. They're two news feeds, and they got two more coming out. So they got a news Dave Portnoy's partnering up. And also with that partnership with Barstool includes the cloud service. So that means the 75 podcasts that are ran under Barstool are going to be on Rumble's cloud system. Meaning that if you're a streamer or you're a content creator on that service, you'll be able to buy Rumble Cloud services instead of Apple or Google or whatnot. And I'm just going on the fact that everybody loves Rumble because they have free speech, they're very authentic. And that was one thing that Chris wanted to say. He's like, you know, we're not a YouTube, we're a Netflix. You know, people come to Rumble to clear out a certain amount of time in their life to watch a specific program. So then when they go on a Rumble, they're going on a Rumble for a reason. They're going to watch Dan Bongino. Okay. Now, here's another cool statistic. If you listen to Dan Bongino, Howie Carr, DJ Academics, Kai Sinat, which I don't care for, if you listen to these guys, they are locking down live viewers, okay? People that are in front of their freaking TV sets or computers watching the show live, okay? That's a live viewer. That's not a bot. That's not, you know, some kind of technology shit to make it look like that somebody's there. That's a live view, okay? And I think that they're going to put in their algorithm, Rumble, they have to, is they're going to make their algorithm know if it's a fucking fake view or if it's a real view, okay? A live view is much more valuable than a view that you can't actually statistically specifically say that yes, there was a person behind that view. Okay. So if they get an algorithm that can weed out that, or at least give an indication that it is really a real view, between the every day between 10 a.m. and 12 a.m. Rumble has it locked with at least a half a million people on their network for 3 hours. Just watching. Dan Bongino, 10 minutes into his show, and I've watched this guy build the show for the last 2 years. He left YouTube. So fuck all what the SEC says. Screw all of it. He leaves YouTube. He gets over to Rumble. Had like 300,000. Next thing you know, he's at 3 million, probably 3 million views. He's at 3 million followers. Okay, he was getting about 60,000 people. I would say 6 months ago, not even. He was getting 50,000 people probably 4 months ago. The last 2 months, he's been raking in close to 100,000 viewers every. He's been raking in 100,000 viewers every day at that time. And it's been bumping. Yesterday's show, 120,000 people. So the ads are going to go to him, and he's not struggling for money. DJ Academics, he's the king of hip-hop right now as far as gossip news, and he's locking it down. You know what I mean? 30,000 people locking in. That's 30,000 young kids locking in on a fucking weekday doing this, or a Friday night, or whatever it is. You get them on a Friday night, and it's 9 o'clock, and DJ Academics has got 80,000 people watching them. Shit. That's letting you know how much power and draw and influence he has, okay? So not only is Rumble, like I said, just picking up everybody, but soon I think, like, there's Underdog Fantasy, like I told you guys last episode, last podcast, that has Cameron and Mace. They're doing big things. The girl, Stat Baby, she's got her own show, but it's on YouTube. So YouTube is starting to take these people that want to be, that they know that they can control, and it's so freaking weird to me how YouTube still allows the content on it is what it is. But I think we're you know, Underdog Fantasy signed Cameron and Mace for 30 million. They get their pay. They don't rely on the YouTube streams at all. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just to keep them relevant. So they already got their bag, so they're really not worried about it. But Underdog Fantasy is going to see the writing on the wall. Okay, they're going to see the writing on the wall, and they're going to say, look, we got to get over to Rumble. They're doing big things over there. A lot of there's going to be a big shift, and there's a big line in the sand whether, you know, free speech versus fee speech. Do you know what I mean? You're going to walk this little tightrope line of censorship with YouTube just to hopefully get some monetization, and knowing that you've abided by all their guidelines, and they still don't fucking allow you to get money off that video, and you put your heart and soul into that shit. Come on, man, that's not cool. Now, the kicker, where they change the game, is in this live feed shit. All right. So once they know that their cloud system, and that's why if anybody listens to Dan Bongino, or if anybody listens to me, they'll know that we're bringing receipts just as well. Dan Bongino, right, has been testing the system, and I don't know why DJ Academics hasn't did it. Maybe he has. I'm not sure. But Dan encourages everybody in the chat to try to break the fucking system. What's the point on that? The point is that they can find the vulnerabilities in the network, okay? So not only every day does Dan Bongino encourage you to break the internet, essentially, and just crumble the network or Rumble, all right? So he'll just say, yeah, type of Y, just everybody, come on. And so you got 100,000 people sitting there slapping their keyboards, running it into the system. You see the system start to glitch. But there's a reason for this. He is a proprietary holder. He's a proprietary holder, an equity holder in Rumble right now. So if he can make the system strong, then it works out for his wallet. And this is all for a reason. So now what happens is, and the reason why they're doing that is because they're opening up a cloud service. They want that thing to be fucking bar none. So if you have everybody in every day trying to fucking break this system, if you will, it really just makes the system stronger, and it's encouraged. So you could tell that these people are very, very dedicated to making this work with Rumble. You know what I'm saying? They really care about the customers. They care about their content creators. They're paying them very well. You know what I mean? And they're rolling out all types of things. Now with this live feed stuff, there's going to be a way for every... Now, I got to... I'm not trying to milk this. What I'm trying to get, I'm just giving you context, and I know you hear that a lot. I told you guys that you can't have the new prices for all the new shit that's going to be coming out. You see, did you watch the CES show in 2024? It's crazy. Like the OLED screens, TVs, the fucking, the Googles, the Apples, the new LG car, the drones, the technology. I mean, even a grow system, if you want to grow marijuana, the technology systems that they got in those fucking grows, those greenhouses, it's insane. It's insane. So it's a lot of freaking money is what I'm getting at. So the thing is that you can't have these expensive things right now. If you just look at it right now and you have these expensive things, right? You know, of course it came out. So Apple charges their lens at $3,500. Well, what's your point, Wayne? Well, my point is that Apple is not going to see a fucking profit off those Googles, those goggles. If only a fucking 5% of the market can only buy it, and out of that 5% of the market that is able to buy it price-wise, only 2% buy. So they need poor people to get rich. There is going to be a fundamental shift. There is a way that, listen, so there's going to be, it's either the hustler is a hustler or the hustler is a fake hustler. There's so many ways to hustle yourself now to do on the side and get side hustles and make extra fucking cash if you're willing to put in that work. If you're willing to put in that work, you're going to be able to reap the benefits of the new technology that's going to be coming out because you'll be able to afford it and so on and so forth. Now, a lot of this money, that's this new generation of money that's going to get created, is going to be created solely off of internet creators. And so, you know, DJ Academics, all your favorite podcast people can afford all this shit. I'm just saying, people that made money strictly off a podcast, okay? Adam 22, No Jumper, or fucking, you know, I know his father was rich, but I'm just saying, say Academics made it from nothing, Chasing Down Joe, doing his thing, came up, now he's making money. So now he can go afford the fucking, the goggles. If I had $3,500, I'd go buy them just and make a video, a YouTube video, okay? And get yourself, start getting yourself some monetization, right? The more the creators start to come out, the more money will be made. Well, you say, well, Wayne, they're already doing that. Yeah, I know. But there's going to be a new way of betting on how you get these sponsorships. Well, what do you mean? Well, what if I told you you had a chance that you could put your hat in the ring for a Pepsi sponsorship? Well, what do you mean? Well, hey, you know, what if you charged, what if Kai Sinat charges 10 cents a fucking live view? Well, what's a live view? A live view is somebody that can be authentically authenticated that it was definitely a person behind the fucking device that actually seen the video. All right. And Kai Sinat does that for 10 cents a live view. Well, shit, I'm poor. I'll do that for 10 cents a view he's making. Let's just say he made, you know, 10 cents a view he makes, you know, for X amount of days, he makes 10 grand. Well, shit, I do that for $2,000. Okay, Pepsi gives it to you. Okay? So, but there's going to, now, I know that sounds weird. I got to say it again. There's going to be stipulations, but it is going to be a huge way for you to start to make more money in your revenue streams. Okay? So, well, Wayne, that's cool and all, but I'm not particularly on Rumble right now. That's okay, because Rumble's going to integrate this system into several online and streaming platforms. What? Yes. So you're talking, so I'm a fucking creator on TikTok, so you're telling me I can also bet on these ad spaces? And absolutely, yep, you can put your hat in the ring and you can bid on them, and they're gonna allow bidding wars. So it's like a mini eBay. You got a bidding war, like, hey, I'll do this, I'll do that. Now you're gonna say, well, everybody's gonna make it the lowest price. Yeah, that's true. But there's going to be so many ads out there that, Kai Cenat can't just say, oh, I'm going to suck up all five ads because there's times and shit. There's going to be time blocks when he's going to have to be met. He's going to have to record it, edit it, do whatever he has to do so that he, for every one he grabs, he's got to let four or five go. So once these, the big guys get in there, the whales go in there and they start eating their shit, there's going to be a lot of bait left over for the other people. So now do you say to yourself, well, how do I do this? Well, let me just say, you're a micro artist and the game's to be sold and not told, but I'm going to give you a little jewel right here. I'm going to drop a gem. And if you don't find this interesting, please, I want you to fucking let me have it on X, but I don't think you will. Here's the deal. They want to pay for a live viewer. You're running on TikTok. Well, shit, they only give us 15 seconds on a video. Yes, that's right. Well, you know what it is? Now TikTok is going to learn what Rumble's doing, and Rumble and TikTok are going to talk, and it's going to say, "Listen, I'm going to be doing this for your peoples," and they're going to be able to run. If I can run my network through, that'll allow your influences to make more cash. Okay, great. Now TikTok says, well, here's the new change coming to TikTok. We have to add in another 5 seconds of ghost recording, which means like you won't even know that the 5 seconds is there. So it's going to be TikTok. You're not going to see when you go to TikTok, you hit somebody's video, you're going to see a 5 second commercial of some type of product before you see the viewer. On the before you see the video, okay? And once you, I think once you do it, you're gonna be locked in. You're not gonna be able to move and strike and swipe up and continue because if you do, the next video you go to is gonna have a commercial because everybody's gonna jump on this bandwagon. They have to open up the economy in such a way. Why do you think $20 an hour is coming through? They have to get people out of gas-powered cars. Well, fucking electric cars, 60 grand. Yes, I know. The government knows they have to give people more money if they want this whole fucking thing to work. If you want poor people to buy electric cars, you're going to need some type of dealership to say, okay, we'll make a $15,000 electric car, but that's as low as I can make the fucking thing for me making, 8 grand or 8 bands off a whip. So now it's up to you guys in the States to make $20 an hour here, give raises, give incentives, do fucking marketing schemes. I don't know what you got to do. But this is what we can do on our end. Do you know what I mean? Oh, okay, well, on the government's end, we can start a fucking COVID fucking crisis, which got a quarter of the fucking workforce to war to a quarter of the workforce to work from home 24/7 until the pandemic let up, and now they're still in a hybrid model. That means less road people on the street. That means less admissions. Do you see how it's all working towards the goals? So if you think you can't be controlled or not, you're getting controlled one way or another. Yeah, you might not be the one that says, hey, wear this fucking, walk the fucking plank, matey. But some way, shape, or form, you're being controlled and curtailed to do something that you might not want to do. And that's going to happen whether you like it or not, because they're going to say, hey, the only way you can get onto your bank account now is through fucking is through online. Well, why? Why can't I go to the bank? Well, because the fucking bank's losing money because nobody works at the bank no more. They're all working from home. So we don't need the space. Oh, you're fucking shitting me. Yeah. So here you go. Do you know what I mean? It's just like that. It's this it's Occam's razor, folks. You know what I mean? So Rumble is going to put out a service where you'll be able to bid. Pepsi will be able to bid and get bidders on all streams and platforms because Pepsi will pays millions and millions of dollars. So now here you go. So you think, okay, well, fucking wait, you're telling me Pepsi pays, let's just say they do 100 million in advertising. You're telling me they're going to pay another 100 million in advertising? No. They're just shifting money over. Well, what do you mean, Wayne? Well, what's the big shift? When you go home and you put on your TV, what's the big shift? You got smart TVs. Everybody's doing what right now? With cable. Cutting the cords. They're cutting the cords, right? So if you're not watching cable, yo, what are you doing? You're live streaming.
So now you have your pick of the litter. You're live streaming here, you're live streaming there. So now these live streaming companies are going to start to consolidate with one another. Okay, so like a Peacock will team up with Paramount. You know what I mean? A Netflix is going to team up with Roku. Okay, Roku is just going to stand on its own 2 feet because they have their own base. I think they wanted they want to be the live streaming cable TV place. You know, minus the cable. They want to act like cable's still around and say, okay, hey, you can just go right to Roku TV. We got all your channels, local news, this, that, and the third. Okay, and when this streaming service comes down, you know. They already have the contract bids for Roku, but you won't have to pay cable no more. These other networks, you'll have to pay these other networks like Paramount. It's the same networks. But the thing is they're going to say, okay, instead of giving you guys $100 million a contract, we're going to do 50 here, and then we're going to do 50 on the influencer sides. So Rumble's going to have a contract to do their own ads, and then they're going to shift it out to the micro advertisers. Because you can have somebody that has, let's just say you have an average, you have a TikTok and you have an average of 1,000 people watching your video, okay? Between 1,000 to 1,200, okay? That's every video you put up, okay? Now that's, you know, it's 15 seconds long, so you have a good feeling that a lot of those people are watching 75% of that video. That out of the 15 seconds, they're definitely watching 10 seconds of it, okay? So now if you set up a marketing tactic where, hey, you know, I want you to pick a color if you put a tactic towards the end of your videos, you can start to leverage your own eyeballs against the ads and say, look, I can put out five ads. I can put out five videos. Okay, I get 1,000 a video. That's 5,000 videos. If I do two videos back to back, I get that's 2,000. Okay, in less than 10 minutes. So add. So what's your point? People will pay. Those are, mind you, these are live views. Live views meaning somebody's behind there. They're live views. So I would pay for 5,000 live views. Okay, and know that I'd probably get 1,000 of those people to come to my let's just say whatever link or whatever they promote, okay? Because they're live views. They're not just somebody, you know, doing an algorithm thing that's making it look like a view, or they're paying for a view for somebody to just touch it and you know take a shit and do a crossword for 30 seconds and then hit another one, go back to the crossword until the commercial's done and their eyes are not even on it. So until you ask the viewer to specifically do something while they're watching the video, or give them to do a comment or something at the end of the video, or something, there has to be something that you can do for creators. It's just a tip. If you can do that, you'll be able to guarantee yourself that people are watching the whole 15 seconds in your video, because they have to find something. And when they find this certain thing, then you know that they've watched the whole 15 seconds of the video. So it's not like they scrolled up the FYP and said, oh yeah, and then keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Do you know what I mean? They actually scrolled, stopped, wait 15 seconds. They ate the commercial and then they scrolled. That is a live view. They'll pay a lot of money for the live views. Okay. So it's going to allow a lot of influencers to make some money, and it's going to allow the micro influences, your people that are sitting there saying, oh man, I'm struggling to fucking keep my podcast going. Like me, I'm a micro podcaster. You know what I mean? And these are good news. This is good news for me. And it's all coming from a company that's going to rival YouTube. Okay. So I don't want to hop on this too much, but listen, guys, Rumble was at 340. And is now sitting at, right now, it's now sitting at, DWAC is $50. Wow. And genius. So, listen, digital acquisition world is True Social. If you were in the True Social on the 18th, you are just making a shit ton of money, because you bought in at, say, $25. And now, all of a sudden, it's sitting at, after hours, it's sitting at 46. So, it's down 9%, but I'm sure Once Nikki Haley drops out and he assumes the nomination by default, then all bets are off. That's going to be have a little spike, so you can go in there and scalp a few quick bucks. So now let's just take a look at Rumble. Rumble. Right now we're sitting in after hours. Give me a every minute type of candlestick. We are sitting at 6:17. So this thing is literally went up almost 100%. This thing was sitting at 340, and since $3.40, we have 618. That is a huge jump. It's been jumped about 32% in the last 30 to 60% last 2 days. So congratulations to Rumble. I thank you for looking out for us and giving us free speech, and it's really good. And Dave Portnoy and Barstool, they made a great decision rolling with this company. And we'll be back right after this with some quick headlines. So let's look at Axios and see what type of shit they like to pull when they talk to people. Now, Ron, you know the story. The story, like I said, on Axios, is everything wrong with the media, okay? They don't want to give Trump his flowers because it goes against everything that they stand for. So, you know, Trump says, hey, you know, at least to me, says, hey, Ron, you drop out. I get rid of the Ron Dank, the sanctimonious. And you give me your endorsement, okay? Because Trump's a businessman. He's a transaction dude, you know. I had to keep this name going, Ron, for end of days. You know what I mean? But you're a smart guy. You come over to my side. You know what I mean? I understand that. Yeah, you know, you're a good dude. I got nothing wrong with you. Jag dude, and I'll give you a cabinet. Drop the Ron Dank, the sanctimonious. Gives me a win. Plus, it gives you a get back at Nikki Haley. Because Ron dances around 99 counties in Iowa and still comes up in third place, right? So he's fuming at the mouth, right? All his back is a fuming, saying, "Ah, oh, Jesus, we backed the fuck the wrong horse." This guy goes running and prancing around 99 counties, can't do much. I'm sorry, comes in second place. Excuse me, I got tied up. So he said what he was going to do, and he did all 99 counties. So it did help him. But he still gets to get back on Nikki, because even though because she knew he was going to drop out, so she says, "I'm going to make this a Iowa made this a two-person race," when in actuality she lost to Ron in Iowa. She got third place, but she knew that they weren't going to run his fucking campaign anymore. Once they knew that, they're like, oh, he ain't going to New Hampshire. He's going down to South Carolina. South Carolina's already sold up for Trump. Shit, Nikki's looking, I ain't even going to win there. So they're burning out his money, and that's that. So Ron gets his get backs by endorsing Trump, okay, at one at Nikki Haley, and then two, fucking, you know, he gets back at her for the Iowa caucus. And also, he knows that he's going to get a cabinet job. A lot of people talking about, you know, Dan Bongino talking about Secretary of Defense, maybe DA, Secretary of State, something along those lines. Head of the military. Those are the things that that Trump was probably negotiating with Ron and say, hey, we can do this. You know what I mean? So it would put, you know, Trump over the top in New Hampshire. It also keeps Ron in the Republicans' minds, because, you know, they know Ron's loyal to his party. So he gets, you know, he might get it, like I said, a cabinet seat, SecDef or USADA, something to that effect. But now you look at it this, you look at it like this. Ron's going to run Trump's coattails, and he's been doing it ever since. And that's why he had a big, huge win in Florida. So Ron can't really lose nothing. Because now he's looking at he's going to be looking at as the golden boy in 2028. So all the MAGA supporters are going to hopefully become Ron DeSantis supporters if Ron can play his fucking cards right. All right. If somebody doesn't come out of the mix like a Don Jr., Don Jr. comes out of the mix, then, you know, all bets are off. So now the Axios story will say, we'll give you the reason why DeSaint-Damone, why Ron dropped out. And if I can get, give me one second, guys. Because they make it so fucked up, and they act it like, oh yeah, Ron doesn't want to kiss the ring. I know I'm getting close. I'll run the sense process. You can't see flames. All right, so here's what he says. Hey. Okay, so by now you might have heard of the DNC and the bomb on January 6th and all the hypotheticals surrounding that mysterious bomb. Why we don't hear nothing about it is another question, and more questions and more questions thus after. So I listen to Dan Bongino on the regular. He has a going theory that most likely Kamala Harris was, or the DNC or whomever, was an insurance plan to say as if the Jan 6 rioters were gonna try to assassinate the vice president of the United States of America, which would have been Kamala Harris, which I find totally, totally bullshit. Like, I couldn't believe that one for a second. I respect Dan, I just don't agree with that one. What more makes sense to me is that I think it was to keep Carmella in line, okay? You have and the reason why I say that is because you have a very, very young, ambitious woman, okay? That is addicted to power like no other, okay? When she was a DA in California, she didn't give a shit who she locked up. She had record-setting convictions. And we're talking convictions for some of the misdemeanors that people are walking, like walking into a CVS, taking everything and just walking out. Well, those are the misdemeanors that she was going after. And she would lock people up for fucking a fucking gram of weed. I mean, if she can get you, she's going to get you. And that built up her status. And that's why people said, hey, here's a hardline lady, da 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 da, she does this, she does that, so they, you know, so they grab her up, Joe grabs her up. Now, at that time, as Kamala's running around the country, this isn't the first election, you don't think Kamala said, hey, there's a way that I can fucking get this man out of office because of the competency? Just on competency alone, I can get rid of this prick, all right? So I'm thinking a lot of people understood the motivations of Carmella and her will to succeed. Only begs the question to say, well, she might end up taking out Joe, and then we're stuck with her as our leader, and we ain't gonna be able to control her like we control Joe. So what we really do is that what we really have to do is put the fear of God in this woman, all right? Because the way Joe's going, she could take him out in one headline. She could take Joe out. Okay, so we have to get her in a line. We have to get her in line and make sure and let her know that at any given moment, if she decides to go left when we're going right, she'll sadly, sadly regret doing that type of regret doing that. Okay, so what they do
is they plant this bomb. This bomb was planted a night before the DNC, okay? So God forbid, and it had to have been a fake, because God forbid somebody ever fucking touched that bomb, then it would have just been a straight news. It would have just been a straight news thing that, oh, there was a pipe bomb found near the DNC. Maybe it was a MAGA person, maybe not. And of course, it would have went into an investigation route, and they would have came back and said, oh, this is nothing. This was a plant, a fake device, whatever done by some amateur. Where it wasn't discovered by somebody, the story persisted. So Jim Bongino thinks that they were going to use this on January 6th, but since the people decided to go after the Capitol, they said, oh, this story will suffice. You're telling me a riot at the Capitol would supersede the Vice President of the United States on an assassination attempt plot? Are you shitting me? That's a bigger story than a couple hicks going into the Capitol building. I don't know. You tell me. To me, it's apples and oranges. So anyway, the guy. Now Dan has a friend that says this camera is a PLZ, which is a pan rotate and zoom or some shit like that, so it can pan up, it can pan down, and it can zoom in. Now, with a PLZ camera, with these type of cameras that can move around, they have to have stationary cameras to record any kind of blind spots that you might be looking with the PLZ camera. When you look left, somebody might be going doing something on the right side. At least the stationary cameras will be able to cover that in a 360 fashion. Okay? So that means that we have on camera the person that put the bomb there. And if you look at the footage of the guys walking around the RNC first that night, and then the DNC, you can see he's using a cell phone. So if you were doing geofencing, you'd find out who was in on that area at that day. There's so much evidence and so many ways to find out who these people were. They weren't fit. I think it was amateur hour, and I think it was a false flag. The false flag was for it to be for Carmella. To say, listen, Carmella, we know that you're a very, very, very ambitious woman, and we know Joe is sliding, and mentally you could take the seat right away from him due to this and due to that factor. So, with that being said, as we speak right now, we're gonna get you signed in as the Vice President of the United States. You're gonna spend 4 years doing this, and then we're gonna re-elect you, and you're gonna do another 4 years. But if in any chance possible something goes awry and you try to do something else, let me just throw on the news for you. So now they go throw on the news and they say, hey, it gets radio, and hey, there was a bomb found underneath the DNC. Mind you, Carmella is supposed to leave. So as probably this conversation is happening, she's probably saying, well, I have to go somewhere. Well, yes, Carmella, see, this is the thing you don't know. We control your whole itinerary. So we can keep you here, and then all of a sudden, something like what's downstairs, like that little device, that could send a blast up through here and take out everybody. Okay, so that means that your little ambitious plots that you may have in your head now, in the future, 3 months later, 4 months later, a couple years later, it's not going to happen. Okay, you're not going to leak any information to the press. What you're going to be is you're going to be the best loyal vice president that Joe Biden has ever had. Okay, because if you don't do what we want you to do, these are the type of situations that you will find yourself in. Okay? So, she was supposed to get signed in at 12:40. This thing was set at 12:40. It was supposed to go off at 1 because she was only supposed to be there for about 20 minutes. But for some reason, she was kept there longer. Why do you think she was kept there longer? I mean, that's the Secret Service. They're pulling the strings. They're letting her know. there was a message being sent to Carmella. It wasn't a message. It wasn't a Trump thing. It wasn't a. It was nothing. It was it was really Biden's people making sure that Biden was going to be totally insulated here on out for the rest of the presidency. And they had to scare her and let her know that at any given time, kaboom, you could go away. All right? You see how fast they jumped that fucking fence in the rioters, right? Well, look at this. Now there's a bomb. And all we'd have to say is one of the Trump supporters wanted to blow you out of bits. Okay? I have no reason to believe that if Carmella had her people plant it, okay? And if let's just say if it happened to go off, they would have said that this was a test phase run on the security apparatus and how good the security was for that day. It was a test. It was, you know what I mean? And they would have tested that. And they would have said it was a test because the point of that being there was all for Carmella. It was not for Trump or Trump supporters. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, let's just say if it went off and they decided to blame Trump's people, right? And then now you have a congressional investigation going on. Who knew what? When did they know? Why was this thing planted the night before? And who planted it? They'd be all over this shit. All over this shit. So you're telling me for all the recourse of action and going after the Jan 6 people, you don't think that they would fucking come after somebody for a fucking pipe bomb? I mean, it might have worked for a narrative, but after the investigation upon investigation upon investigation, we would have found out like it was a Mike Epps thing. Who's to say it wasn't fucking Mike Epps? Because the first fucking guy that I seen in the RNC was fat, had a belly. Somebody walked by that day, you know what I mean? So who knew what? What was said to the control tower, I mean, to the control person behind the camera, because then it started following the Secret Service. And why did the Secret Service allow any type of people to walk by that bomb that day? Okay, because you see about three or four school kids cross the street with like a teacher or some lady, okay? And then the Secret Service guy is like right beside them. And if that was a live ordinance, heads would have rolled for not directing collateral damage to another side of the street. Like, that makes no fucking sense. But the reason why he wasn't so worried about it, because he knew it was a dud. It was a message. And it was so happened to be, it's so conveniently that there's two cruisers. There's a local cruiser and there's a Secret Service fucking blacked out vehicle right next to the bench where the bomb is laid. Okay, and they find out about this bomb from a gentleman that used to work for the Washington, D.C. police. You can't make this shit up. So Dan thinks it's, you know, Carmella making a false flag on her own and shit like that, and was going to blame it on the Jan 6 supporters. For what, though? I mean, for what, to jail them more? Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get the fucking, like, do they think if that thing went off that they would have stopped all Trump supporters from ever voting for Trump again? I mean, what the fuck? I mean, it's like, the guy says it out of his own mouth, especially during that. I can go in the middle of the street, shoot somebody in broad daylight, and I wouldn't get fired, and nobody would tell on me. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't see. If that thing went off, if Dan says, you know, hey, it's a false flag for Carmella, if the thing went off, what would be the why? What's the point? To me, it makes no sense. What makes more sense to me is that it was a message to Carmella to cool her fucking jets and don't try to fucking pull the rug underneath from Joe on trying to become the president, all right? Because he's in here for a reason. We're pulling the strings on this bag of bones, okay? And you're not going to come up here and fuck up the agenda. Because what you don't know is Barack's pulling the strings. And what you don't know is that you're just here just to be here, okay? And if you don't act right, let me show you what can happen. flips on the news. Oh, there's a bomb found right at the DNC. What the fuck? Yeah. And guess what? You're supposed to be out of here, and you're not. And then she sits there. Oh, shit. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, it was a message, bro. It was, to me, it was more of a message to Kamala to stay in lockstep with Biden's agenda, and don't try to deviate from the plan and go against your king. You know what I mean? That was that. And if you look at it, why has Kamala never, ever, ever tried to get rid of Biden? Knowing that she could. There's so many times the guy fumbles up his fucking words. He does the skippity-doo darn and falls. Can't drive a bike. He's sniffing fucking people left and right. Taking showers with his daughter. Accepting bribes. I mean, you take your pick. She's just saying like, hey, I could, this is easy. This is like stealing candy from a baby. But no, there was something that was done to let her know that you can't go and collect $200, okay? And that was the fucking bomb, all right? Riddle me something different. Riddle me something different. I don't want to hear about, oh, well, yeah, it was just to, you know, put extra limelight on the Trump supporters and how bad they are and da-da. Fuck that. That's bullshit. They do a good job that on their own. They don't need a bomb for that. They needed the bomb to keep Kamala in line.